What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Big Honker Podcast. Hopefully everybody's made it through hunting season in one piece. We are now into the off season. This podcast is brought to you by none other than Double T British Kennels. Mr. Corey has got some of the finest Brit Labs out there that are on the market today. You can go to his website at britlabs.com and get in contact with him there.
Buy you a pet and a working dog all together at the same spot. Great package. Logan, who works for us, he's got a dog, Delta, perfect pet, perfect hunting dog. Go to britlabs.com.
That's all you got to do. Also, we're brought to you by Hemp Hill Farm. Getting old, you get some ouchies every once in a while. There's a promo code, BHP. It will save you 20% off of checkout. They also have a way you can save 30% on your first order. CBD is the way to go. Hemp Hill Farm is naturally derived CBD. It's all organic. Taking care of all of my growing pains.
Right, Jeff. Now, they've got a gummy sale, 20% off plus free shipping.
Can't beat it.
Nope. It's hemphillfarm.com. Farm is spelled PHARM.com. I take a gummy every night for bed. Helps me sleep good. Do not wake up with a hangover. I take one about 10 o'clock. I go to bed about 10:30. Usually about 6 o'clock in the morning, I roll out of bed and I feel fine. One other thing too. I have plantar fasciitis in both feet, both my feet. I tore both of my Achilles in my younger years. It's a side effect of it. When it does bother me, it doesn't very often. I take the salve or the roll-on and put it on. It automatically wipes it out. At Turkey, he brung some to Turkey for us at all. Stood on concrete for 3 straight days. Walked 10,000 steps a day. Oh, knees get a little ouchy and stuff. They got me a new blood pressure medicine. Put that stuff, rub it on my knees and joints. Feel like a million. Feel like a 22-year-old after I do that stuff. Works perfect. Good.
Hemphillfarm.com. Next, we're brought to you by Lucky Duck. Listen, they've got a lot of products. It's predator season now. You know, people are going after coyotes and bobcats. Shoot and raccoons. You know, Lucky Duck has something for everybody. They've got kennels out there. They're 5-star crash test rated kennels. You can put it in the back of your truck and strap your dog down and not have to worry about what's going to happen to him in the event of an accident. Obviously, everybody knows about their waterfowl line. They've got the best A-frames on the market, the 2x4 blind. They're a one-stop shop. I mean, they've got everything. They've got e-collars, they've got kennels, they've got motion decoys. We ran their rotary system a couple times last year. They've also got some new products that are going to come out later in the spring and summer. So check them out at luckyduck.com. They got a turkey line out there now. I mean, they've got all sorts of stuff. So just head over to luckyduck.com, whatever you're looking for. They have something for you. That is at luckyduck.com. Next, we are brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, it is not the duck. They are growing and expanding. They've got some of the best coffee that you'll ever drink. Morning Wood, Sun's Up, Guns Up, First Flight. It goes on and on. Missouri Boat Ride Blend. You can subscribe. You can get coffee shipped straight to your door. You can figure out the delivery, how often you need your coffee delivered, and you can save a little bit of money if you subscribe to their loyalty program. DirtyDuckCoffee.com. They've got amazing looking swag. Saw some of it at NWTF. Jay and Buck are great guys. They're on a whole tour with all the hunting shows coming up. So if you want to get your hands on it and try a couple different blends before you buy something, if you have a hunting show, big hunting show coming up, I'm sure they'll be there.
Check them out at DirtyDuckCoffee.com. Look for them in the East, on the East Coast. They're going to start being in Food Lion grocery stores, a few of them. So anyways, check them out at DirtyDuckCoffee.com. Best swag in the market. Great coffee. It's all we drink here at the Big Honker Lodge.
Next, we're brought to you by Shin Gear. My goodness, they had an incredible booth at NWTF. It was packed the entire time. I tried to go by and talk to them and loaded with people. They're kind of tinkering with some of their wader products. They've got the 2S system that's coming out. It's got 2 seams on it instead of 7, I believe. You know, if anything is going to go wrong on a wader, it's usually at the seam. So they're cutting down the number of seams on their new waders. The jack shirt's out. Bibs are out. I wear the bibs every single day here. Waterproof, windproof. It's all you need. Shin Gear, I'm telling you, they are the way to go.
The scout boot I wear every single day during hunting season. Every day. They got a brand new. They got tons of colors. Fixing to get me some gray ones. I love them. They're great. I'm telling you right now, if you wear anything outside in your garden or nothing, even with shorts, you can put them on. They slip on. They're comfortable. It's the way to go. Shingear.com.
Next, we are brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is the way to go. Copper-plated bismuth. Turkey season's coming up. They've got all of their turkey stuff ready to ship to your door. It's all TSS. I shoot 9s. That's what I shoot. I like a lot of pellets. In my mind, you send a hornet's nest out to them, the flop starts. So They've got War Chief. They've got their Legacy line and Waterfowl. They've got Boss Tom. The gear is amazing. Call the shop if you want any of the gear. Phone number is on their website, BossShotShells.com. We're proud to be associated with them.
Yes, On the Road with Boss. Jeff and Andy comes out in March 18th, I believe.
March 18th.
Check them out at BossShotShells.com. Thank you very much.
Next, we're brought to you by Pacific Custom Calls. Pacific Calls and Post Falls, Idaho. Anything you need. Waterfowl, geese, ducks, turkey. They've got a call for it. You know, great guys up there at Pacific Calls. They had a hell of a show at Portland. They're retooling a lot of the stuff. The PCD duck call has undergone a transformation, making it more versatile for more people to get their hands on and feel comfortable with the call. They also have the Turkey Rodeo. It is going to be April 20th, Post Falls, Idaho. They're having a big shindig up there. Bring your turkey, biggest turkey with weight, spurs, beard. Combine those. Biggest turkey will win $1,000 and a belt buckle. So they got a lot of cool things going on with Pacific Calls. Check them out, PacificCustomCalls.com. We have a promo code with them, BHP25, 25% off your order. Not going to find a better deal than that. Next, we're brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries, the leader in silhouettes, Silla socks. They are great. That's what we use out here every single day. It's easy to throw out a big spread with Dive Bomb. You can throw out 50 dozen and it's not a big deal. They got a floater line out. They got some full bodies out there now for snow geese. And that's all going on right now. Squad Fest is going to be July 19th and 20th, the 3rd or 4th. I can't remember. I think 4th. So it's coming up. Make plans to be in St. Louis around that time. Great guys and hard workers. They're always ahead of the curve.
Going to be a good time. Can't wait to see you there. Come by and see us. Andy will sign some titties.
Yeah.
Divebombindustries.com.
Next, we're brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Head over to their Patreon account. Get signed up. Logan and Rebel, they put out a hell of a show. They got a bourbon review, and they're just great guys to listen to. The big sultry voice of Logan Pyatt.
The bourbon review is worth it alone. If you're a bourbon drinker, these guys, they talk about it. They know their bourbons. Professional drinkers, basically. Looking Glass Podcast on Patreon.
Next, MLR Graphics. Baseball season's coming up. You're going to need jerseys. MLR Graphics in Breckenridge, Texas can hook you up. If you head over to their website, mlrgraphics.com, you can get in contact with them. Whatever you need, shirts, hats, they can do it all there in the great city of Breckenridge, Texas.
They do all of the stuff for the Big Honker Lodge. So anything that's got a Stanfield or a BHP logo on it is done by MLR Graphics. Holler at Michael at mlrgraphics.com.
Next, we are brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. There is not an organization that is doing more on behalf of waterfowl hunters. They are putting ducks back into the sky. They are the leader in wetland conservation. Figure out a way to get involved with them. Either start a chapter, join a chapter. Your money gets put to work to put more ducks into the ecosystem for us.
And they will be having a ducks, I guess it'd be a ducks event next year. There's not one this spring. Right. Spring of 2025, being Memphis, Tennessee, will be a big convention. Will be a really good time. Look forward to seeing y'all there.
Next, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield stool. Save my back all last hunting season. Nice chair, sets out in the A-frame. You can sit up, you can sit back, you can lean back, you can swivel. It's a perfect way to spend a morning in an A-frame. No more bucket butt for me. You can find it at alphaoutdoorspecialties.com along with all their other stuff. They've got a blind caddy. You can keep your coffee up there, your shotgun shelves. You can even hang a heater buddy if you need to. They are an innovative company. So Alpha Outdoor Specialties, if you need a Stanfield stool or a blind caddy. Next, we're brought to you by Mossberg. Don't sleep on the 940 waterfowl gun. That's what we shoot out here. Oh, everything's oversized. Listen, it's cold out there. Your fingers get cold. You need big things. The charging handle is bigger. The safety's easy to get to. The 940, it's a very, very good gun. It's what we use every single day. In the blind, whenever we get to shoot, they've also got rifles. They've got all sorts of stuff. Competition guns, handguns, whatever you need to take down, you can be shooting a Mossberg. Mossberg.com.
They also are great stewards for the youth. They give us guns every year for the Gold Star Hunt, which we will have the first weekend in November or first weekend in October up here. Thank you so much, Mossberg, for reaching out and doing so much for the Gold Star kids in the military. That's Mossberg.com.
Last but not least, it is Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. You can come out here and spend time with us. Dove season will be here in just a couple short months. We got a couple openings for that.
Yes, I've got some weekday hunts during the weekdays open. I don't have a lot of weekends open. I think I got the, I may be able to do one group of eight on first weekend, which is the 8th, I believe. And then the second weekend, the 15th, I've got one group opening for 8 to 12. And that's it for the weekends. And then weekdays, we can do a private group for 20 people. Anyways, that's at stanfieldhunting.com, 940-658-3172. And if you call, Jeff will answer the phone. If not, leave a message and I'll call you back. Thank y'all for listening to the Big Honker Podcast. We appreciate it. God bless y'all.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer.
Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Lucky Duck. I'm Jeff Stanfield with the world-famous Andy Shaver.
If you want turkeys, you need to get rid of varmints.
Yes, you
Lucky
do.
Lucky Duck's got everything that you need to get rid of those pesky raccoons, coyotes, all sorts of nasty critters that are nest raiders. So they've also got a brand new kennel out, 5-star crash test rated. Feel good about putting your pup in it.
Got a question for you before we get into this podcast.
Okay.
Do you give two shits if the King of England died or not?
No, I'm not me neither. Personally, I don't. But okay. I mean, it's a big deal over there.
Well, we're talking to a Canadian. I just want to get your American opinion on this before it is, because big rumor mill today is that King Charles is dead.
Well,
which I don't give a shit anyways. The only royal family member that ever died that bothered me was when Princess Di, because she was a smoking hush. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Really care less. With us today from Black Folds, Alberta, Mr. JJ Miller. JJ, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Well, are you upset about the king being dead if he's dead? Or do you give a shit either?
I can honestly say I didn't even know, so I just found out from you guys.
Well,
that's the rumor.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
I highly doubt it's true. If it's coming from Jeff Stanfield, it's probably not true.
So you think he's alive still?
I mean, sure.
But who cares? I mean,
I'm sure a lot of people
understand. I don't understand that. You're
not supposed to. You're American. We quit giving a shit in 1776. So it's not a mystery that you don't give a shit.
Okay. I don't understand how that family hasn't gotten woke.
Well,
I mean, they built their whole thing on slavery and incest. There ain't no difference between the royal family and a bunch of fucking hillbillies from Appalachians or Arkansas, except maybe the English family, the royal family's got better teeth. They're all inbred. They all married their fucking cousins. You have to marry a cousin. I don't get it. Just like I don't understand Trudeau in Canada. Everybody I know from Canada is a great guy that thinks the same as us, but they're overrun by a bunch of son of a bitches that don't look like the gentleman on the camera today. JJ doesn't look like anybody I saw when I was in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, JJ?
Yeah, there's getting to be more and more that don't really look like us, like I said before, but it's tough being here, especially out in the West where we don't have much of a say. There's too many people as you go east that don't have the same mindset as they were down in the West.
The farmer in the Canadian provinces is no different than the farmer in North Dakota. Good, hardworking people that enjoy the outdoors, loves God and everything else. And it's just crazy that that's happened that way. So tell me about being a Canadian. Big hockey fan?
Yeah. I used to play a lot of hockey when I was younger, but as I got older, I never really watched it or anything. But it's still, you get the Battle of Alberta, which is Calgary and Edmonton. And that's only an hour south and an hour north of us. So that's pretty good rivalry, and it's pretty fun to watch those games. But once it starts getting down the playoffs, you start watching more. We got local hockey that's pretty good, Junior A and stuff like that. So hockey is a big part. I just don't watch it much on TV.
That's one thing I'm jealous about the Canadians. They have something to do until the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
They can watch hockey. I mean, I could watch it here. I just don't understand the game.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward once you get the rhythm of it, isn't it?
Yeah, you're just trying to put the little black thing into the net.
Yeah.
That part I get. I don't understand the icing calls and you get offsides and all that.
You'll figure it out. You figured football out. Figured baseball out.
Football's got to be the hardest sport for someone that don't understand it to start watching.
Scoring is wonky. Scoring makes no sense. For somebody that just plucked out of the sky and is like, hey, watch this. You get 6 points for this. You get one for that. You get three for that. You get two for that. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So,
like with that, actually, it's we in high school, we got our football team back. Like for, I think it was around 20 years, we lost our football team. When I was in grade 10, we finally got it back. And our first game that we won it 1-0 by punting it through the end zone.
No shit. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
Well, that could be the Canadian rules over the NFL or whatever.
But I'll be damned.
Now,
punted it out of the end zone, and that's worth a point.
Yeah, you got a safety.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I didn't know that was a thing. But I don't know much about Canadian football either. Did you grow up in a small town then?
Yeah, the town I grew up in is in Saskatchewan, about 2,500 people.
Perfect size. That's bigger town than what we have. That's a perfect size town there, yeah, for sure.
It was just enough you can get yourself in trouble, and pretty much everybody knew about it.
So did you grow up hunting and ice fishing all the time?
Ice fishing didn't come till much later in life, but hunting and like waterfowl and deer hunting was pretty big growing up. Like I think I was in my dad and his friends blind probably at age 8 being the bird dog, and I loved every minute of it.
Now, is it all, I mean, is it where you were growing up, is it a big migration stop, or is the whole province pretty much just sky to sky waterfowl?
I wouldn't say the whole province, but you like my hometown of Unity is right in the flyway. Like it's, we go back still every fall for a week or so, and it's like, it's amazing. Like it's just ridiculous how many birds there are.
Did your folks stick around there?
Mom passed away 6 years ago, and Dad's still there, so he gets some a bunch of 40-year-old men barding on his house when every fall. So
he probably
and loves
it,
every
though.
Minute of it.
He probably loves it. Loves having everybody there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And y'all are there for a week?
Usually a week. Yeah. Usually we'll go down on a Monday and then hunt till Saturday, Sunday.
I assume that in the last couple of years, the bombardment after COVID has really taken place on the Canadian prairies with the Americans coming up there. Does it ever get to be an issue? I assume you can hunt pretty much anywhere you want to around your hometown. Or have y'all been pushed out by the American outfitters?
No, there's a few outfitters around there, and they're pretty awesome to deal with. Like, if you're sitting on a field scouting it the night before, they'll come up and they'll chat with you. And are you taking this one? Well, maybe. Is it okay? Well, we're going to go back over here a few miles. And they're pretty good to deal with. We've had one bad incident, but I think it's with anything you do, there's going to be some hindrance or whatever you want to call it that's going to kind of put a staple in your feather.
I assume eventually money's going to rule up there where they're going to start leasing land. I'm sure a lot of farmers do lease land under the covers that nobody knows about with cash.
They do it, yeah. And we've actually were told about it this fall by both ways. And it's a little bit, like I get why they're doing it, but it's kind of frustrating on our end. But what do? Go to the next field and shoot them up over there?
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's not like there's one field that has all the birds. Like you can go any direction from the small town and find a hunt within 15-20 minutes. Pretty easy, and there's multiple in each direction.
It's crazy, but people don't, I mean, when you go up there and hunt and you see all the birds and how spread out they are, it's an amazing deal, because that's where they're all nesting. They're and they are spread out. It's so different than down in the States, and the lack of pressure. We hunted 5 days in Canada this year. I didn't hear nobody else shoot anywhere. Did you?
I heard a couple of the volleys.
You did? We're at what place? In
Saskatchewan.
I didn't hear nobody else. I do too remember that. We did have that first morning. But you don't see a lot of hunters for the birds that are there. And I know in some areas it's a lot more, I don't know what the word I would look for, lot more traffic with the hunters in some of them certain areas. But and I always wondered how the actual guy in Canada that hunts, how he felt about all of that. If they felt bombarded or they're good with it.
I think it's like you said, there's lots of birds, there's lots of area. So, and if you're especially like a local guy like me that had moved away and you still know a lot of people back home, it's definitely not hard to get permission. Like we got landowners that they'll watch us hunt in the morning, and if they go over a mile to the east or whatever, and that's their field, you'll call them that evening, and they go, oh, yeah, somebody called, but I kept it for you. Like, it's pretty good people around there for sure.
Now, do you hunt in your hometown you live in now a lot, or do you still go back home to where you're from to hunt mostly?
We do most of our hunting around here, like within an hour of Black Falls. Like, we'll go west and then east out towards Bashaw. Lots of birds in Bashaw, too, but not like Saskatchewan. It's hard to explain. Like, in Saskatchewan, you can find multiple feeds of, like, 10,000 birds. And you can do that, too, in, like, around Stettler. But in Saskatchewan, there'll be 4 10,000 feeds in each direction. And here in Alberta, there'll be one or two in an area. So it's just a little bit better flyway, I think, in Unity.
So as far as, I mean, it sounds like there's more birds in Saskatchewan, but as far as quality hunting, is it not even close from Alberta to Saskatchewan?
No, I think Alberta's good too. Like, you still get them good hunts, and if you put in your legwork and do the scouting and good to the landowners, and they're happy to let you out there and stuff, then it's good.
Yeah.
How far are you from the Rockies, from the mountains?
2 hours, a little over 2 hours, maybe. Like, we're about an hour from Calgary, then about an hour to Banff.
Where the guy that we had on that got bit by the bear, he had to be somewhere close to that.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he's kind of in between. He was from Sundry,
I think. That's right.
Yeah, he's about 40 minutes, and then just a little bit west of Highway 2.
Yeah, I see it right there now, where it's between you and Calgary where he is at. So do you see a lot of bears while you're hunting?
No. No, we're all, like, all my deer hunting we do here is all prairie farmland, and I haven't seen any in the prairies or nothing. We see some out working when we're working. But
me and Andy, about 10 years ago, we went to Carrot River, Tobin Lake area, and I was so impressed because we saw bears, we saw wolves, we saw mule deer, white-tailed deer, elk, moose, everything, just on an afternoon scouting. And I enjoyed that more than I did the hunting and seeing all the different game. Do you have all of that where you're at?
Yeah, like the second whitetail there was shot just 15 minutes west, and then 2-3 years ago I shot my first bull moose, which was 20 minutes east of town, and we got elk that run the Red Deer River and just a little bit south of us.
So you got everything there.
Might not see many wolves, but be some down by the river. But
so you got elk, moose, deer, you got it all.
Yep. The two years ago, we went out September 1st, opening morning for Canada's and ducks. And we got a 3-man limit of honkers. And then we went out to the lake, and then we got a limit of walleye in the afternoon. It was pretty awesome.
Living in true God's country, except for during the wintertime.
Sportsman's paradise.
I couldn't handle the winters.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you would like this winter, Jeff. It's been pretty tame. I think we've had 2 weeks where it's below minus 20.
Celsius?
Yeah.
So 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Like, it's 14 days of that shit. I couldn't handle that.
You'd be all right.
There's no way. I don't mind. I don't mind some cold.
You gotta dress for it.
But that's cold. But it is an awesome place up there. It's so beautiful to see it. Now, Americans can't come up there and shoot moose, can they? They have to. That's only Canadian residents only, right?
I think they have to go through an outfitter. Like, they can't freelance for big game.
I knew where we...
For Saskatchewan and Alberta. Okay.
You have to be with an outfitter then. I think that eventually it's going to come to that for the all hunting in Canada. I really believe so. I keep saying this, and people, I get messages all the time, you don't know what you're talking about. That's true. There's a lot of things I say I don't know shit about. I agree with that. I think eventually you're going to see Canada cut off all Americans coming and bringing guns over there. If you're going to go to Canada hunt, you're going to have to hunt with an outfitter, and you're going to have to get guns that an outfitter has, like in Mexico.
If we keep our current government, I could see that. But like a real government that's actually here for Canadians knows that the Americans bring a lot of money into those small towns. Like, so it'd be, wouldn't be that great if that happened, because if you go to an outfitter, usually you're all out in the, what do the heck they call them? You know, like their lodges and all that stuff. There's not a lot of money going to those small communities.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think that the government, it's kind of like of America. We don't have a government that gives a shit about us. I don't know why y'all's government would give a shit about y'all. We'd have to all live in fantasy land to have a government that actually cared about us. But I really see it trending that way. It's getting harder and harder to come across the border. Unless you're wading across in Texas and you're getting a check. But you just, it's so hard going to Canada as an American. We didn't have to deal with guns because we had guns we could use.
Thank goodness.
But it's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And then I have guys that go across that they're like, I'm just there 5 minutes. It was perfect. And then you have the other guy, like Mikey, who got kicked back out this year.
But, I mean, he was going up there to guide, though, right?
Yeah, but, I mean,
didn't have his papers.
But you see, it just, there's more and more of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that have a lot, they get harassed a lot at the government, that the borders, it's just stupid. Just make it really hard because the Canadian, the people in those small towns, they need the American dollar.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's all the tourism. And it's not, it's a small town, Saskatchewan. They don't have a lot of tourism, like especially like Unity. They got a couple motels there. And when we're there, usually end of September, early October, you see a lot of U.S. plates in there. And they're, you know, eating at the restaurants and buying liquor at the liquor store or going to my cannabis store there. And they feed the community while they're there.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, we live in a small town that has zero tourism other than waterfowl season. From hunting season on, whether it's deer hunting, waterfowl, pigs, whatever, from September through about February or March, we have people here all the time that are spending money in our communities that are hunters. Whether they're hunting with me or somebody else, they're here spending money, and our communities need that. And the business owners appreciate it, but a lot of people don't. They probably, oh, they're out here, we can't get nowhere to hunt ourselves anymore. Well, that's part of life. That's the way it goes. When are y'all y'all start snow goose hunting again here pretty quick, won't y'all?
It's already open on the 15th. We're just waiting for them to come.
They're in Nebraska.
Are they?
Yeah, well, I say they are. I don't know. Blake is still snow goose hunting. So he says tens of thousands right outside of his shop. He's got a permanent spread right outside of town. So he just hops in there a couple hours every morning and grinds on them a little bit and then hops on a tractor.
Using backboards, I bet, huh?
Probably our A-frame.
Our A-frame?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they are our A-frame, 100%.
I thought he had our backboards, too.
He's got some of them.
Okay. Yeah. Blake's like the son that I love that borrows shit that never brings it back. I'm glad he lives further away because we wouldn't have anything if he lived close.
Mm-hmm.
Now, didn't South Dakota get hit by a big snowstorm?
I'm not sure.
I thought I saw where South Dakota and North Dakota got pummeled by snow the other day, a bunch of big snow.
When do the snow geese usually show up for you?
Usually beginning of April, and then they usually last about a month.
I can't imagine goose hunting clear up until May. That is crazy. Now, they get really stupid, too, in April and May, I was told.
Yeah, it's something about the breeding, because they breed on the way up north.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the guys don't give a shit.
It's like a bunch of college kids looking for some poontang on the way home.
Bang all the way home. They get home, they fucking don't give a shit, and they just decoy right in.
I didn't know that. I thought they'd wait until they got back to wherever, tundra or whatever, and then do it there.
No.
I did not know that.
I heard it's on the way up.
Yeah, I think that's just the nesting grounds.
That's interesting. Huh?
Because they're going to start having if it's the end of April, 1st of May, fuck, they're going to have eggs on a clutch and have babies by June.
Yeah, probably pretty close.
Yeah, so they can start their flight down to get shot the shit out of them again. Now y'all use electric collars in the spring, right?
Yeah, we can use them just for snow geese.
Now see, we hunted up there in September and they used or October and they were using the collars, and I didn't know you could do that. Wisher makes it nice.
You can use an e-collar with a snow goose sound, and then if anything comes in, you can hammer it. But if it used to be if a Canada came into an e-collar, you weren't allowed to shoot it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be damned. I didn't know that either. There's a lot I don't know, but, you know, that's why we're with a guide. He's got to know.
Hopefully he knows.
Hopefully, you know, tell me I can shoot it or not.
We don't have that many snow geese here, but you could do the e-collar snows here and run it and shoot specs all day long.
You could, but it's illegal.
Well, I understand. I'm talking about if it was legal. Oh. I don't understand why it's legal there in the fall, but not down here.
I don't know. Same reason they can shoot 8 pintailed hens.
So are y'all...
Isn't it 8? Isn't it 8 ducks?
Yeah. 8 ducks, 8 darks, and 50 snows.
Yeah.
Whew. So in the spring, it's unlimited on snow geese, right? Are y'all at 50?
It's still 50 a day with no possession limit.
Fuck, 50 geese, though. Geez, you shoot 50 geese. That's a hell of a... Four guys kill 200 birds.
What's the most snows you've ever got in a day?
120.
How many guys? Two?
six.
Six guys. That's still a lot of birds to clean.
It doesn't take too bad. You all get your 6 or 10 or whatever. And then we did a lot of sausage with it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did that turn out good.
It did?
Yeah, we just made 160 pounds of sausage.
Damn.
I don't like goose that much. My thought since COVID, the goose taste is not as bad as it used to be. It used to be like a really bad liver. Now it's just not beef, but it's not as bad for me no more. But I like goose sausage. I love the cheese jalapeno. The goose sausage is very good.
Yeah, the trick with it is you got to make it taste not like goose.
That's exactly right. You get it to taste like a deer, and it's money.
Spice is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it taste like chorizo or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, all pork fat and jalapenos, what you want to taste.
But there's a lot of sausage made out of duck and goose these days.
Oh, yeah. It's the easiest thing to do with it, right?
And jalapeno poppers. That's probably one of my second.
Jalapeno
poppers. That's probably my favorite.
How do you do them?
With the snow geese?
Ducks.
Ducks, yeah.
Duck poppers, yeah. Hollow out the jalapeno and then fill with cream cheese, marinated duck breast and Italian salad dressing. Wrap it in bacon, throw on the pit boss. And then my mouth starts watering about 3 minutes.
So you, man, doesn't take long. You hollow out the jalapenos where we slice the jalapenos here like lengthwise. So y'all just open them up and you make them like a vessel and you put the cream cheese inside of it.
No, we cut it in half and then take out all the seeds.
Okay. Yeah.
My wife doesn't like it too spicy. So it's easier to make them all for her than a couple for me. And then I lose one and she gets it.
You know, you can use bell pepper. It's the same thing then.
No.
Doesn't taste as good.
No, totally different. Totally different flavor.
That's like drinking a near beer and having a beer. Two different things.
Right.
Well, a jalapeno that's not hot is a damn bell pepper to me.
No, it's not. Not even close. Totally different flavor profiles. You don't know what you're talking about there.
Okay.
Then you get that. I love it when you get that right amount of heat. Like, not too hot. Like, you want to feel it just a little bit, but you don't want it to scald your ass.
Yeah, you don't want to melt your face off. It's the flavor and a little bit of heat.
Yes, yes. I didn't realize, so I love jalapeno poppers. There's like a vein in there, and you got to scrape just a little bit of that vein out. Like a lot of times people will just remove the seeds, and they're like, fuck this, pepper's still hot. I got all the seeds out. There's a tiny vein in there, and you see it whenever you cut it open. If you just barely scrape some of that out, I've noticed I kind of moderate the amount of heat that's hitting me.
Yep. 100%.
I do love a good jalapeno popper, though. I can eat my weight in them. If they're at like a, I think they're the ultimate dish. If they're at like a potluck or something like that, the first thing I go for, load my plate up first, then go back for the shitty roast that people brought.
You know the best fast food jalapeno popper is at Sonic.
Probably.
The Sonic has the best poppers. Do y'all have Sonic in Canada? Or y'all got Tim
Hortons? Not yet. I think they're coming.
A&W.
Yeah. A&W. Yeah.
With no ice.
Yeah, no ice.
That wears me out. Everywhere I go, I want lots of ice in my drink, and I guess I say ice funny because I get made fun of it all the time. But we were up there, and I ordered a root beer at A&W, and they bring me a root beer, just a glass of root beer. It's like, do y'all have ice? Oh, we don't have a machine even. I'm like, what the hell? It's cold here all the time. We don't need ice on our drinks.
You're taking that restaurant for more money because they're giving you more soda this way.
I'd rather have ice. Half a glass of ice, half root beer.
Yeah, for sure. Is Sonic the one where they come out on the roller skates?
Yeah, that was their initial pitch, and then they got lazy and just started walking to you.
There's some places.
Some places they'll still bring out rollerblades.
Let me tell you a story. We were in Hobart, Oklahoma at Sonic, and they had a girl that brung the rollerblades out there, and she dropped all the shit, and Andy was an asshole and laughed at her.
I did.
Andy doesn't tip, and he made fun of her for busting her ass in front of everybody, and I felt really bad. But, yeah, they used to do roller skates, but you don't see much. But yeah, that's a Sonic, and they have, I'm sure regionally it's completely different, but they sell a lot of, they've got fried pickles and they've got fried jalapeno poppers that I bought and like, and they got, something else, they have cheddar bites or something.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of ice, do you know how On the Rocks got started? You know how the saying originated?
Mm-mm.
Do you know?
No.
So the Scottish people, when they were drinking their whiskey, they didn't have ice back in the day. They would go to the river or outside, and the rocks were always cold, so they'd put rocks in their whiskey to cool it off.
I'll be damned.
So that's how Scotch on the Rocks got started.
That's an interesting tidbit.
So you like ice. Imagine, you know, 300 years ago, you'd have been putting fucking rocks in your drink.
I don't know about all that. But that's very interesting, though.
That's how it happened.
It's an interesting deal.
You're welcome. There's your history lesson for the day.
So as a Canadian, are you a big poutine eater?
Twice a year, maybe. And it all depends on the restaurant.
That's it.
What's the key for you on your poutine?
There's one. We have a camp spot just out by, just west of town, out of Gull Lake. And there used to be, well, it just burnt down this winter, actually, called the Monkey Top. A poutine with prime rib, or not prime rib, brisket in it.
Jeez.
And that was pretty good.
Sounds like it. I'd be all over that one.
I had lobster poutine in Kennebunkport, Maine. I couldn't remember where we were at in Kennebunkport, Maine this year. And it had crab in it, or no, lobster. It had lobster in it. It was lobster. It was good, but they had lobster instead of cheese curd. It was lobster with cheese curds, fries, and some kind of gravy.
Must have been a white gravy.
It was, and it, but it was, but like it wasn't garlicky, like a
butter.
Yeah, it was more like a butter sauce than it was a gravy, because we have good white gravy here, and it wasn't that Yankee brown gravy. It was a cream sauce, kind of a garlic butter cream sauce. But it was really pretty good, I'd never had it. But it was called Maine poutine, I believe, is what it was. But it was really good. It was very different. But we had poutine last year in Ontario. And it was a whole lot better than what we had in Winnipeg at the airport.
Yeah, that's for sure. The further you go east, the better the poutine will be.
That's what they said. Yeah. They said it originated somewhere out east, and it just kind of went west after that. But they said the further east in Canada you go, the better the poutine is.
We flew into Montreal last year, and we had one right at the airport, and it was pretty good. And it was a real poutine. Pretty good.
So a guy in Canada like yourself, Do you work all winter long, or do you get off in the winter when it's so cold?
I work all year long.
Oof.
Yeah, I work in the oil field. So I work 15 and 6 running a wireline truck for Voltage Wireline.
So you're on 15 and off 6?
Yep.
That's good for hunting, though, isn't it?
You betcha.
Do your 2 weeks, and then you got about a week off.
Yep.
I'm betting you take your vacation during hunting season also, don't you?
Depending on the year. If I'm coming up for a draw or something, then I'll take an extra holiday here. And I always take an extra week in September to go, or October, to go back to Saskatchewan.
Will they let you do like 30 and 12, or can you not do that?
No, they don't like it, because you can't, technically not supposed to work over 23 days straight.
Oh.
But they've done it, but we've done it before, but
right,
it's not fun.
How is the oil business in Canada right now? Are y'all busy as y'all want to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's busy. It's all about abandonments right now. There's some new production, but like what we do is a lot to do with all abandonments. We specialize in abandonments.
I saw where oil was $80 a barrel still.
What does it mean, abandonments? That's, you take over a dead well or what?
That's when they're getting rid of the well, when the well is depleted. So there could be problems with the well, or we'll run our tools down there and we can use a set of bridge plug with explosives. The set of plug, and it blocks the well off from there down. Then they'll pressure test it. Then we'll dump cement. And then if they have casing issues or a casing vent flow leak, we can do different types of logging. And we can tell them where their cement is on the backside of the casing. And then we can run a gun in and use more explosives, put holes in the casing, set another plug called a cement retainer. Then they'll do a cement job trying to get the vent flow fixed.
So you get to play with explosives.
Yeah, I don't ever get to see them. Hopefully, I don't ever see them go off. But downhole, they go off.
Yep. Yeah, that's a hell of a day. Just go out there and blow shit up and pour cement on it.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah.
I saw oil's at $82 a barrel today.
Really?
Yeah. Have y'all? I know that area is huge on oil and stuff. Y'all do a lot of fracking where you're at then?
Yeah. Yeah, there's fracking.
That's that black sand oil, isn't it, up there?
No, that's in northern Alberta. That's like Fort Mac, where they got the oil sands.
I don't understand how that works. I've never understood that. They have to melt the sand?
Yeah, they separate the sand and the oil, and then they clean up the sand, put it back, and then they ship out the oil.
It's amazing how smart people are.
How the hell did they figure that out? Just got too hot? Sand started melting, and they're like, oh, fuck, there's oil.
I guess so. All right.
Can you imagine how lucky that is? I mean, Oh, my sand turns to oil. Now I'm a millionaire.
Oh, my dirty sand. Yeah. Ew, gross.
Yeah, let's never have that happen.
Is a lot of the oil in Canada, a lot of that land, is that all native land or whatever you call them, natural America, Indian? What the hell do you call Indians up there? Are they Native Americans or they have a name for them, don't they?
Yeah, natives. No, like up there, it might be a lot of native land or like government land. But down here, like down here where we are in central, it's all majority would be farm owners' land. And then once you go west of here, like towards BC, and then some of it turns into crown land, government land again.
Crown land, that's Queensland.
Kings.
Or the kings. They own, the royal family owns a bunch of land in Canada still, don't they?
I'm not sure.
I think they do. At one time they did. My question is, do you, in Texas, now we've had oil for a long time down here. You don't see it as much, but I noticed in North Dakota and South Dakota, and even in Western Oklahoma, you'd see it. You see an old family farm, and you see grandma and grandpa's house, and it's a little farmhouse, and then you see the mom and dad's house is a little nicer than the grandkids' house since they've cashed in on this oil. They live like fucking millionaires. Is that the way it is up where y'all are too?
There's a few spots like that, yeah, where they have like kind of a three-yard farmyard, and each house will go up higher in size and value.
Yeah, the grandkids living a whole lot better than the grandparents did. There ain't no doubt about that shit.
Would you like to guess at how much land in Canada the Crown owns?
26%.
JJ?
33%.
89%.
No shit.
89.
It's owned by the royal family of
89% is long. The vast majority of all lands in Canada are held by governments as public land and are known as crown lands. About 89% of Canada's land is crown land.
Is the crown land owned by the British monarchy or is it owned by the people of Canada? Who's not? And I bet you're not getting a check for it, are you, JJ?
It just says crown land. I don't know if that.
They said it's in the mail.
Yeah.
Hope y'all's mail service is better than ours because ours is terrible nowadays.
But yeah, I typed how much land in Canada does the royal family own. It popped out 89%. Sure, that can't be right. That can't all be going to the royal family.
I don't know about that. They've owned land all over the place.
41% is federal crown land. 48% is provincial crown land. The remaining 11 is privately owned. That's got to just be what they call it. But I don't know why I didn't put in crown in my Google search. I don't know.
But if you go,
I'm gonna do some more digging.
If you go west of where the bear attack guy was from Sundry, there,
yeah,
like that's all crown land, all the way to pretty much BC.
Hmm.
So it's quite a bit of land. And then if you go north, like you hit a certain spot and all that's crown land. So it's quite a bit.
I'm just curious if the crown land is owned by the actual British monarchy.
Everything I click on, it all goes back to Queen Elizabeth.
I'd always heard that, but that's just, so 90% basically of Canada is still under the throne.
Hold on.
Oh, here we go.
Hold on. Crown land is owned by the Canadian crown.
Okay.
The monarchy owns all crown land officially, so I mean, maybe not.
I know in England that they give it, they pay the royal family $50 to $150 million a year every year as a tax. They pay to the monarchy, and I'm wondering if that doesn't include money that the Canadian government is sending the British government.
I'm digging here. I'm digging.
You're the Canadian. You should have all these answers. We can tell you what's going on in Texas.
I just know that we can go on it. Like we can go on it. We can fish on it. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
But the state of Texas ain't giving us any of them options, I can guarantee you.
No, not
we live in a state that has 1% that of public hunting. In the whole entire state of Texas, there's very little public hunting. And if you took off the coastline of Texas, it would probably be way, 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 way small. Because that's basically all the public hunting in Texas is either going to be in a lake or on the Gulf Coast. You find very few places that are set aside for hunting in the state of Texas.
Yeah, well, a lot of them they're not designated just for hunting. Like there's an area east of Black Falls about 20-25 minutes, and it's one full section, so a mile by mile, and it's crown land, but it's grazing property. So through the summer, the farmer that has the lease on it will have his cattle out there. And then mid-October, he'll get his cattle out of there. Then November 1st, it's it's a highway for people to drive through and see if they can catch any deer or moose going through there.
What do y'all have, the big white barns where they have all the carpenter bees or wood bees or whatever they're called? Like you see in some,
the white what?
They have little white huts. Like I saw some,
like bee houses.
Bee houses, yeah. Yes. The bigger ones though. They.
Oh yeah, there's lots of farmers that have them around.
And that keeps the gives the yep. bees a place to stay in the wintertime so they don't all die.
Yeah, and then they'll wrap them up and insulate them for them and everything.
This they're, can't be.
Actually, one of my daughter's friends from school, they live out by St. Paul, and they're like one of the biggest bee, like honey producers. Kind of neat.
That is interesting. That's an interesting animal that we don't, or insect. If it wasn't for the bees, we wouldn't even be here still.
Yeah.
They're alive.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that podcast you guys had with the beekeeper, and that was pretty cool.
Well, like if the bees go away, so does civilization. Like we're fucked if there's no more bees. And people yeah. and nobody's talking. There's a couple things nobody's talking about. Nobody's talking about where the bees are going, and nobody's talking about, well, here in America, our national debt. Nobody's talking about it. Not a single politician. two very, very frightening things, and it's like, ah, fuck it. We're good. Let it ride. Let's get to $500 trillion. The tipping point, as I like to call it.
We'll never, they'll never ever address that.
Or is it
that.
$50 trillion?
They'll never.
I think it's $50 trillion.
5,500, what's it matter? I mean, we're never going to address that anyways. The bee situation is interesting because the almond farms in California have played a big role in a lot of that, because there's a lot of there's a lot of manipulation by other beekeepers against other beekeepers. It's a cutthroat business.
Yeah.
But you have to have them to survive. I mean,
they pollinate everything.
The other day I was driving down the road and I saw an 18 wheeler that had a hives loaded on deal, and they had like a screen wire around them, and you could see the bees buzzing around and stuff, and they were going somewhere else to drop those bees off.
Right.
And they sell them out to these farms, or they rent them out all the time. But it's always interesting when I'm in Canada, I see those bee houses everywhere. Not like the hives we have here, for people that don't understand. It's like a little, actually looks like a kid's playhouse you'd see in the backyard, and it's white.
Okay, so I might have an answer to this. Who owns, is what's Crown Land? This is according to Quora, and this is so people with the knowledge of it, they type in their answer. The answer is sort of. It depends on how, whatever you want to be about it. The Queen of England holds a legal title to all the Crown Lands. That makes up 89% of Canada. Currently, Elizabeth is both Queen of the UK and Queen of Canada, but those are separate positions and could diverge in the future. So Elizabeth, who is the Queen of the UK, has title to 89% of Canada, but she owns it because she is also the Queen of Canada. This is an older thing. The ownership has nothing to do with the title Queen of the UK.
She's just a land bearer for
that. The idea of owning that land is tricky too. Canada inherited much of its legal traditions from the UK, and UK evolved for a long time without the concept of a corporation. In the U.S., for example, the government is a corporation, a legal person that can own property, enter into contracts, sue, and be sued, etc. In Canada, in U.K. and Canada, etc., the government cannot do those things. Only a natural person can. So the legal formula that is followed is that the monarch owns all the government property, the monarch enters into contracts, and the monarch can sue or be sued. The government does all those things as the queen's agent. So I think technically, yes, the crown does. That's my final answer.
Can you imagine what her royalty checks must be on wool?
I think that would go to the Canadian government on that one.
I don't know. Sounds like she is the Canadian government. I don't know how it all works out. It's a weird system, because she's on y'all's legal tender, isn't she?
Yep.
What a
well. Then they switched it just recently. But then, if he's not doing so good, they might have to switch it.
Oh, again. He's already on the on your dollars.
There was some, yeah, because you don't get the new stuff right away. Right. Like I think the newest one I've seen is 2022. I've been looking for it, but haven't seen him on there.
That's
yet.
Interesting. Well, if he died, he damn sure didn't get to use that office very much.
No,
he's well, a she lived forever. Prick, anyways.
She screwed him on any sort of.
Fuck, she was queen during World War II.
Could she have stepped down? Or is it a death thing?
I
don't know.
No, I think they can't. I know, because her uncle, she would not even have been the queen. Her uncle was supposed to be king.
Right.
But he was banging some divorced American chick and married her. So he had to excommunicate. Is that what it's called?
That is a thing. I don't know if that's what they call it.
He had to excommunicate, I think, is actually what you call it. And he walked away from the, and her dad became.
And it went to her dad.
And her uncle was also a Nazi sympathizer. And so was her husband, because he was a German.
So was Hugo Boss.
Yeah, Hugo Boss is big time German sympathizers. They made all their uniforms. Uh-huh. And anyways, so I don't know how that works exactly. I don't even know who the new king is going to be.
William.
Okay. And his wife's the one that's missing right now, right?
They found her.
Did they?
She turns up.
I don't think so. See, that's what I mean. I don't understand all the mystery with all this shit.
It's the same as any celebrity. That's the same as anything. I mean, why? Who gives a shit about Kim Kardashian? Millions of people apparently do, but they're just a celebrity. That's all that they are. That's what it is. No different. They're no different than any other Kurt Russell or anybody. You know, that's a question. So hunting was slow one day. We were sitting there in the blind, and you know, I'm just begging for a bird to do it. And off to my left, I hear somebody say, talking to one of their buddies in the blind. Been quiet for a while. So what's your favorite Kurt Russell movie? Jesus, boys, it's about time for us to fucking end it here.
What is your favorite Kurt Russell movie?
It's a good question, but it's just like, that's the question that breaks the silence is, hey, what's your favorite Kurt Russell movie? My favorite Kurt Russell movie, Backdraft, really good. Tombstone. He's had some good ones.
I couldn't watch Backdraft.
I'm going to say Tombstone. Tombstone, final answer.
I couldn't do Backdraft because my dad picked it apart the whole time.
Yeah.
As a fireman. Why, damn, you can't talk in there. He ain't got no face mask on. It smokes in there. Well, blah, blah. I was like, okay. My favorite Kurt Russell movie is probably the one with Robin Williams when they go back to their high school reunion and play football.
I've never seen that one. I don't even remember
the name of it. The Right Stuff or some shit. What's your favorite Kurt Russell movie? Or do you have one?
I don't even have one.
There you go. Sam, the same way, too. Mel Gibson would be a whole lot easier.
What would that be?
Oh, the one where he plays the Patriot.
The Patriot?
Yeah, the Patriot. I couldn't remember that. I love that movie.
Couldn't think of the word.
Yeah.
Couldn't think of the name of it.
The Patriot. Great movie.
I would go Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon 4.
I liked all the Lethal Weapon
with
movies.
Joe Pesci. We'll get to that in a minute. So, Kurt Russell, let's see. Captain Ron was good. Overboard was good. Tombstone. I didn't like Escape from New York. And then that's the 70s. Yeah, I think that's probably about it. Bone Tomahawk, I never saw. Hateful Eight was good.
Is he Kate Hudson's dad?
I think stepdad. I don't think it's a biological dad.
Okay.
Married to Goldie Hawn, or not married to Goldie Hawn, but
he's been banging her for 40 years.
Been together forever. All the 80s movies were the same.
Huh?
Yeah, you got the buddy cop, and like, how much shit can you possibly get into?
I don't know. I think all movies are that way.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon. Like, how many times are they going to do this with Riggs and Martin?
I think they're Martin done Riggs. Now. They're all dead now.
Well, they made 80 of them.
Who's your favorite actor, JJ?
Adam Sandler.
Oh, he's a good one.
You what's know, your, I just watched his new show the other day. What was the name of that thing? I just watched it with David Spade. The Wrong Missy. Did you see that? Yeah. God.
Yeah. Every time you watch it, God, you miss something.
I laugh so fucking hard.
And that's on Netflix?
Yeah. When that lady goes in that bar and he's trying to pick up that football, that big son of a bitch's wife. God, that's great. Yeah. My boyfriend will kick your ass.
Or how about when she does the cliff diving and then slips and like cartwheels down that cliff?
That is a funny ass show. That's one of the, I like Adam Sandler. He seems like a good dude. I like him because he's very loyal to his friends.
Yeah, that's pretty
and,
cool.
And you just
yeah.
don't see a lot of that anymore. But that The Wrong Missy is a good show.
What's your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Kind of neat how he's starting to involve his daughters now too.
What's your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
I think probably Waterboy.
Waterboy's good.
I sure like the first Grown Ups.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it.
Big Daddy's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wipe my own ass.
Yeah. It's sad though.
Did you know Rob Schneider's daughter is a famous singer now? She's that chick that sings "I'm drunk and I just want to go home" or whatever it is. She's the one that was at Dolly Parton at the Dolly Parton's 150th birthday or whatever the hell that they had at Nashville the other day, and she got drunk. She got on stage and she was really drunk, but she's a very good singer.
Hmm.
What's her name? Does it show right now?
L. King.
The song.
L. King. Yes, that's his daughter.
Really?
Yeah, she's very talented too.
Not much of a looker, but
well, he's not much of a looker. He had one ugly daughter and two pretty daughters. We saw that in Grown Ups.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm drunk and I don't want to go home.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't. Your mother told me that going to Nashville or something, or we were in Nashville and she said something about it.
So I wonder why she didn't want to keep her. Her mom is London King.
I don't even know who London King is.
I don't either, but I don't know why you wouldn't want to be L. Schneider. London doesn't have the same stage presence.
She's got her dad's money, and Linda L. King sounds a little bit better.
Here comes L. Schneider. Welcome her to the stage.
She's a very good singer, though.
She is. Yeah, I like that song.
Very, very good singer. But anyways, yeah, that's his daughter.
So what's coming up next? You're going to start snow goose hunting whenever they show up, and then you do any turkey hunting up there?
No, there's no. There's actually a draw for turkeys, and I think it's like 7 draws for the whole province of Alberta.
Gosh, buddy.
Yeah, so through the winter, just been kind of keep myself going with Delta stuff. And we just actually put out 9, 10 hen houses yesterday, or Saturday, sorry. And then this afternoon, I'm going to go out to a small town that's got a youth group, and they want to learn about them and put one out with me. So we're going to go awesome. Do that.
Doing wood duck boxes?
No, hen houses.
Oh. What is it? What's the hen house?
Hen house is like it's a thicker chicken wire with straw built into the middle of it. And then you put some hay in the middle and you put it out in the pond to keep them out of the water or out of the grass.
I've seen them before, but I've never seen one in person.
How many can just one hen get in there, or how big are these things?
They're 30 inches long. So you might be able to get 2. I don't know if they'd nest that close to each other or not.
Do you have like a metal funnel on the back where it keeps the coons and muskrats and stuff from otters from getting in them?
No, it's just the way it's built. It's kind of built on a T, so I don't think they'll be able to get up and around. I don't think.
I need to get a couple of hen houses here for the Mexican tree ducks that we have here.
Do you do this every year?
Well, we will start. This is our first year doing it with Delta. Last year was our first year of starting our chapter of Delta. So we had our fundraiser dinner last spring, and it went really well. And then this year, we're coming up May 11th, will be our second one. So the money we got, we did hen houses, and we're going to take some kids out hunting this fall.
Cool.
That's good. It's great with to that. Give back. We appreciate that.
How long
that
does it take
much.
You to build a hen house?
These ones were really quick because I bought them.
That's the best way to do it. Throw a little bit of money at it.
That's the best problem solver in the world.
It was like just like a few minutes over the phone. And it's probably the simplest thing I built. But we're going to try and do our own this fall, I think. We're going to try and build our own.
And then what do? You just scout out where they need to go and plop them out there?
Yeah, just wherever you think that wherever ducks usually are in the fall or in the summer, and go talk to the landowner. And we haven't had any problems with that yet, but we haven't done many. But hopefully we'll do more and more every year.
How many are you wanting to put out this year?
We bought 11. So we're going to put the 10th one out today. And then the one I'm going to keep for our dinner and just kind of show everybody firsthand what it is, one of the things that we're doing.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, listen, you got a lot going on up there. It sounds like you stayed busy, and hopefully warmer days are ahead and you can not freeze your nuts off every time you go outside.
Well, yeah, it was plus 14 yesterday, so it's definitely coming.
Do you shoot a lot of field mallards up there?
Yeah.
That's so much
Jeff's
fun.
Jeff's favorite.
We don't even hunt out of the water. Like all the hunts we do are dry field hunts.
That's the way to go. What's the weirdest thing you've shot on a dry field hunt?
Weird? I don't think anything really weird yet. Like, no, I can't think of anything to be weird. Had a lot of weird people in the line.
So y'all didn't kill no diver ducks or anything like that while you're field hunting?
No, there's been a couple of wood ducks shot just south of us about an hour. And we were out working there one day by Drumheller. And on the way back, I had to take a double take and turn around and go see. And it was a Drake wood duck on a little pond, and it was pretty cool to see that because we don't have them.
Yeah, that's like us out here. We don't very seldom do we ever see a wood duck here. I mean, very rare. We used to kill a canvasback drake every year in a peanut spread, but it was never landing. It would just buzz by. There was a lake down below, and he'd just be nosy, and here he comes. And we'd, like 5 o'clock Charlie on MASH, he'd come running by every day at the same time. We'd kill one every year, and we don't kill that many weird birds.
Not anymore. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, you keep keeping on up there and put out those hen houses. Hopefully, you have a lot of success this year, and
we're
gonna make more hens, make more babies, duck babies.
And I'll see you in July at Delta, correct?
Ooh.
Yeah, we're gonna go down there. We're gonna go. I gotta get an award when I go down.
What's
there,
your award?
Actually. Western Canadian Volunteer of the Year. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
What did you do to win this prestigious honor? The hen houses?
Well, we started up our chapter here, and we had a few guys that were started before me. And then we sold our ice shack business, so I was kind of looking for something to do. So I decided to join up with Delta, and it was kind of very laggy about kind of getting stuff rolling. So I talked to the Western Canada guy that kind of Bill, he looks after all the Western Canada, Manitoba out. And he convinced me to join to take the chair of Central Alberta Waterfowl Chapter. And then we had our first hunt, our first dinner, which was a huge success. We sold 140 tickets, and we were $300 off a record for your first dinner.
That's awesome.
So went really well.
Yeah. Now, have you been to Louisiana before? You're going to be blessed with the greatest food in the whole world.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. And hot.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah, your wife wouldn't like it if she doesn't like some seeds in her jalapenos.
No, are you talking about hot weather or hot food?
Both.
It's going to be a hotter than shit down there. 100 degrees and 100% humidity. It's ball sweating weather.
The food's not terribly hot.
It's not like Thai food or anything, but it can be some kick spice to it.
Yeah, there'll definitely be more flavor than probably, you know, what you have there in Canada. Yeah, you know, salt and pepper is about it up there. But it won't be bad.
The food is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Boudin. Have you had boudin before? Oh, you got to try some boudin.
You're in for a treat. You're going to love it.
Them coonasses, they can make a dog turd taste good. I'm telling you.
Pretty sure they have. Pretty sure that's what's in boudin. It's a missing ingredient. I hate to tell you, don't look at the ingredient list on boudin.
Well, hey, that's something to be proud of. Congratulations on that. We will be at Delta with Boss. Come by and see us. We'd love to visit with you.
Be here before we know it.
When's your banquet in Alberta?
May 11th.
Perfect. Well, thank you a lot, JJ, and we'll see you this summer.
Yep.
Sounds good.
God bless you, my friend. We'll see you in July. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
JJ Miller.
When is this podcast coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Friday this week?
Sure.
Okay.
That works for me.
Well, I didn't know if it came out this week or not. All right. We will see. Anybody come by and see us? Okay, go ahead.
14-foot great white shark. Lee Beth. Is this the one that you were talking about the other day?
Was it South Padre?
Yeah. Pinging today. Anyway, here's her map.
She was right at South Padre, too. She was up at Corpus.
Wow.
Hey, you'd be scared.
Oh,
what's
you know,
emotion.
She's not the only one.
No, you know she ain't traveling ain't by herself. One? No.
So December 8th, she was right around Hilton Head. I think that's Hilton Head. We'll call it Hilton Head. Came around here, came around Miami, went almost to Cuba.
Went down to San Castro.
January 24th. And then February.
Hung she up was right at Apalachicola. And right there at St. George Island.
She went right down there March 1st. And then she went up the Texas coast and then Nolens.
Now she's on her back. She's at she's right there where we fished at last year outside of Venice now.
She is, yeah.
In the shallows. I run them gas wells.
Fucking crazy.
I saw a video of a guy swimming with one the other day, a 14-footer. Young male, he said. I just get in the water with him. You're a fucking idiot.
In 3 months, she's been all the way to the beaches in Texas, now Louisiana, swimming over 2,600 miles since we released her.
The ocean is a cool, cool place, but there's so many mysteries there.
It's the last frontier.
Mm. I saw
where we have no fucking clue what's all down there.
I saw where that we stayed at our resort in Mexico. Yeah. The beach has already changed, and that little strip we sat on is not hardly there now.
Oh, really?
No, and they said it'll move all the time.
I wonder if that's her. Yeah, it's probably her from earlier, because that only goes to February 7th.
Interesting stuff.
My dad told me one time when I was little, the firemen, they had a group of firemen. They called themselves the Animals. Mm-hmm. And they would go off the Texas coast and they'd go fishing every year. And they'd take a fucking boat. They'd use it at Lake Arrowhead. And they'd go 40 miles offshore fishing. And dad said one time they had a hammerhead come up and sniff the boat motor that was bigger than the boat.
Really?
I was like, fuck, screw that.
Yeah. Not good.
No, that would really bother
me. Here's something right here. She pinged.
She ain't very far off the coast. Water
right there. That was February 26th. She pinged.
She's not. She's
not very far.
10 foot of water out there, probably.
She's at the, you can see land right there.
Well, that's the third cut right there. If you walk off the water at the off the ocean, there's three cuts.
She's inside of it.
Yeah, and what happens is you go to the first cut and the water gets to waist deep, and then you're almost at ankle deep again.
Yeah.
And then you go to the next cut and it's up to your neck, and then it goes up to your waist, and then the third cut, it goes over your head, then it comes back up to about your neck again. Well,
that's where
them big fish go up and down them cuts.
And you can tell that's like the last little spot of land before it dips off.
It dips off into the regular ocean. She was in between the second and the third cut. So it's she was probably in neck deep water. Can you imagine seeing that that old fin coming up at you?
You can't. That's a 624. So maybe she knew the beach isn't going to be crowded about that time.
I don't know. Could you imagine? Do you think they're attracted to shit? Because I would have shit all over myself. That'd been all she wrote for me.
I know I debated posting this, but it's near impossible chasing pings. Oh, somebody was probably worried about somebody hunting her.
I guess you could try to catch her.
Oh, that's cool. It's got a camera. She's got a camera on her tag. That's fascinating. Huh.
That's crazy.
I tell you what, I wonder if they can do that on ducks now. Surely if they can put it in the fucking water.
Well, we're going to have duck guys on next week, so we'll talk them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to talk to Greer. That's crazy. Yeah, because, I mean, basically, Greer, we have Greer Smith coming on next week. He's doing the 50 ducks. I can't remember exactly what it's called. 50 ducks or something like that on Instagram. But basically, they're going to take 50 ducks, and I'm probably going to butcher this just because 50 ducks North America. Over 500 waterfowl. Anyway, like I said, I'm gonna butcher it. But they're gonna put geo trackers on all these ducks, and then people are gonna be able to track where they are in their migration and kind of, you know, create a little bond with these birds. So that'll be interesting. But yeah. Lee Beth, the great white. You can go to Outcast Sport Fishing and track her. See where she's at. Make sure you're not visiting a beach where she's near. Sounds like you don't want to get in the water in the Carolinas.
A lot of places I don't want to get in the water at.
Morehead City, North Carolina.
Anywhere in that Atlantic.
They're cold water fish though, aren't they?
But don't get me lying to you.
Why in the summertime they're by the Cape. Right?
I think they like the colder water. There's probably no doubt about that. When we were at Chatham, Mass, they've got a big, they've kind of got an inlet that comes in there, and there's a big sandbar out there.
Yeah.
And we watch the sandbar, and all of a sudden you start noticing the sandbar's moving, and it's seals and walruses and all kinds. I don't know if it's sea lions, whatever the hell it is. But anyways, you'll see the sharks go up and down there all the time, and they're feeding like crazy on those seals. Yeah. And there's people swimming in the water next to them.
This dickhead got in the water with her. We ought to try to reach out to somebody here. Get them on. Talk about Lee Beth. All right. You got anything else?
I want to go back to that picture of that guy swimming with that fucking shark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What the hell is he doing? Gosh almighty.
I'm sure you had to tag her. You got to get in the water to tag her.
So they caught her. Well, the ones I saw in the Discovery during Shark Week, which comes up in about right before football season gets here, they get them on this platform that raises up. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
And then they put a PVC pipe down their throat and they shoot salt water through them to keep them alive while they do stuff.
No, this is not her. This is an older picture. 5-year anniversary, one of the fun day of life. Hooked 7 great white sharks in a day and put 4 satellite tag. Well, they had to tag them. I don't like reposting, but it's subarctic. I don't want to forget. We shoved out. Get to the good stuff.
They're in Cape Cod.
Found 1 acoustic tag. Shark take the bait. Unreal. We landed him. It's a huge big mouth.
Anyway, sounds like he had to get in the water to tag it.
I don't get the fascination for wanting to swim with a great white. I don't get it. But if you get in that water and you get bit by a great white shark, you're in their backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sad deal, but you're putting yourself in their situation.
Sure.
And I'm not scared of the water, and I'm not scared of the ocean if I can see. I don't want to get in the water I can't see on. I've been off coast of Puerto Vallarta before when you couldn't see very well. I'm floating around, and looking back now, I'm pretty fucking stupid probably. But everybody else was doing it, and there was a bunch of beer. But I damn sure ain't getting in the water right then. Are you? No, I know better than that shit. No,
probably not. No,
you're not even gonna get out of the. You're not even gonna look over the edge of the boat. You're gonna stay right in the center of that boat, and think about all the ways it's gonna sink.
Gonna need a bigger boat. But I mean, the odd if you got in the water, the odds of you getting eaten by that great white are low.
I don't give a shit.
If it gets off of that line, it's gonna swim away.
Would you rather swim with that or an orca?
Ooh, probably. I don't know, man.
An orca.
I don't know.
There's never been a case of an orca whale attacking a human being in the wild.
I think that's just because they don't look far enough.
I saw a video yesterday with two kids swimming somewhere, and the orca whales were going right by them. They don't mess with people. The only time the orca whales ever hurt anybody,
white shark.
That they will a shark. Maybe they're protecting humans.
I mean, they fucked that thing up. Anyway, interesting stuff going on. Yes, hopefully they put those... Boy, could you imagine if there's a camera on a bird and it flies into a decoy spread and just gets poofed? It's probably better that they don't
put it. I don't think they're going to put... Well, you know what? I watched a thing called The Migration one time on Discovery or Amazon or one of these deals. Not The Migration, the new cartoon one that's coming out that's going to probably be an anti-hunting show.
We watched it.
Is it anti-hunter? No. Wasn't?
No.
Okay, good then.
I fell asleep during it.
But you know, Bambi was the first anti-hunting movie, so...
No, I don't even think they mention hunters.
Okay. Well, anyways, this was showing geese and showed some gray lags, and they had cameras on them, and it showed them going to a decoy spread. And
really?
Someone shot the one next to it and stuff. But it was an interesting deal, but it was showing the geese. It was over in Europe.
Yeah.
But so they can put a camera on one.
Yeah.
Did you see the guy in the ultralight that had the fucking eagle come up and land on his foot? Swung up by him, and then he petted the bird and flew by there. I'd be worried about that eagle making me crash my damn ultralight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you've heard of bird strikes, and them ultralight ain't got much going on. No. Remember when Tony's fat ass was going to buy him one of those?
Yeah, he should have done it.
He'd be dead.
Maybe not.
All right. Thank y'all for listening to us. God bless y'all. Come to Tulsa and see me and Andy. We'll be at the Boss booth and the Onum booth. Come by and see Maddie Robertson. Hopefully he's fishing. He won't be there, but Dirk, me, and Andy will be there. Thumbs will be there, and Connor will be there. Thanks. God bless y'all. Have a good day.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer. Go check out Mossberg, Stanford Outfitters, Alpha Outdoor Specialties, Hemp Hill Farm. Use our promo code BHP, Double T British Kennels, Mallard Bay, MLR Graphics, Boss Shot Shells, Pacific Calls, BHP25 is our promo code there, Dirty Duck Coffee, Dive Bomb Industry, Shin Gear, Ducks Unlimited, Lucky Duck, and the Looking Glass Podcast.